Amen. You have your Bibles tonight. Turn with us to the Gospel of Luke, very familiar chapter, in Luke chapter 15, verses 11. Now, I know you've heard it all, but this generation's heard it all, had it all, and most time missing it all. I was sitting, and just before you stand, we was having a New Year's Eve service. I had Brother Bill Belcher over preaching for me, and he'd preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then that gonna preach Sunday night, and was having a New Year's Eve service. Went on to midnight and passed, and then the folks fed him. And then Brother Mays Jackson was in Kingsport, Tennessee, always a week after Christmas. He'd come up there and preach the last message. We had him poured out. You might have come, Tommy. I don't believe you was going us there. But anyway, he was sitting there, and this fella got up. He was one of the most decorated soldiers in World War II, the state of Virginia. Got shrapnel in him yet. And he supports me every month on my radio broadcast and his wife. He went to the prison ministry. He didn't ever pastor a church and didn't want one. But anyway, he got up there, and Brother Bill was sitting there, and he said, boy, that there fella said, by his talk, he's not very educated, but he sure does know the Lord. I said, he sure does. He got up there, and Bill Belcher hit me on the shoulder and about got up. He's a preaching on Elijah. And this is what Brother Gene Castle said. He said, now, I'm not an educated fella. Said, I just went through the seventh grade. But he said, I know the Lord, and he knows me. And said, you know something? Said, Elijah out here said he got discouraged. Said, never one of us do every once in a while. And said he run, and then he hid in a cave in the mountain. He said, there come a big storm. The Lord wasn't there, and the thunder and the lightning and everything. And said, then there was a still, small voice. Now, he said, I'm not educated. But you can't hear a still voice. But he said, God's children can. Bill Belcher said, I graduated from Furman University and went on, and I never knew that. So you'd learn something from a lot of folks. And he's got God on him and a witness. One night in revival, he was sitting there in the choir singing like that, and it was getting high. Preacher got up, said, all right, Brother Braden's going to come and preach. How many rather be here tonight than to be in jail? Raise your hand up. Well, he didn't raise his hand up. And he looked at him, and he didn't know Brother Gene. He said, brother, said, you'd rather be in jail or prison one than to be here tonight? He said, praise God, that thing had done stirred me, and God blessed me. That's where he called me to preach, and I'm wanting to preach. If you'd like to stand in verses 11 of Luke chapter 15. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, isn't that a glorious time when you come to where you're at? He came to himself and said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. Am no more worth it to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again, and he is lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house and heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said unto him, thy brother is come. Thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I served thee, neither transgressed I any time thy commandment. Now, I question that. I mean, that throws a question mark up my mind. But anyway, he said, yet you never gavest me a kid that I might marry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, he's alive again, and he was lost and is found. You may be seated. Father, help us tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for the sweet spirit, the blessed singing that blessed our heart. Lord, the choir, the special trio, Lord, they had the touch of God. Lord, I thank people that sing with the spirit, pray with the spirit, magnify, and I ask you, Lord, that the spirit of God may unctionize us and help us tonight. We'd say that it would glorify your name. Draw us closer to you. Save that one as yours hell. Thank you for this church and its stand, Lord, for this name and its God of old time religion. A dear man of God, you got yours overseer of the flock. Help him, I pray, in Jesus' name as he leads them. And we'll thank you for that you do. Amen and amen. Amen. You know, this, I know they talk about the parable of the prodigal son. But really, this particular passage of Scripture is one parable, and it got three different things in it. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, you notice in verse 1 in chapter 15, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the scribes and the Pharisees murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Then he said in verse 3, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, well, now, you know something? There was some sinners and publicans that wanted to hear Jesus. But the ones that was a religious crowd didn't care anything about it. They accused him. They said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And aren't you grateful if you're saved by the grace of God tonight? That as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name, that he received you in your sins and cleansed you, thank God, and clothed you. And one day, praise God, gonna crown us, and we'll have a crown to throw at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you find these the three ones that are one parable, but everything speaks about something that was lost. And the first one, the sheep, was lost through foolishness. Now, if you've ever messed with sheep any, you know they can go through a gap, leave the rest of the flock, and can't find a way back. A hog will find a way back in the hog lot after they're rooted out. You take a calf or something, they'll find a way where they got through the fence or come back. But a sheep has to have someone to show it the way back. Aren't you glad that you and I were lost sheep from the fold, and the good shepherd come to seek and to save that was lost? Now the sheep was lost through foolishness, and then the lost coin was lost through carelessness. But this son was lost through willfulness. He willfully went away, and he was a rebellious son. But thank God he got to be a repentant son when he come to himself. And then he was a returning son. Now this parable is one of the classics of the Bible. But you think about it. This lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, and the elder brother's lost blessings, that he had something available for him all the time, he wouldn't ask the Father with it. You know, too many times we sit around and are not blessed of God and see somebody else blessed, and we have not because we ask not. We fail so many times and take things for granted that we should not do. But there's grace, there's mercy, and love shown to the Father. And I want to speak to you on this thought tonight. When the Father puts it on, you say what? Listen, the Son went out, and the Son, he rebelled. That Son out there repented. That Son returned, but he left with his inheritance. The Father gave it to him. They could have it. And they gave the oldest son that was accustomed twice as much. And he asked, give me the portions of good. He had a right to ask for that. But he wanted to get away from the Father. He wanted to go out there and live it up. Now, I don't know for sure unless this other brother was going out checking on him, hearing from him where he went, how that he knew he spent his money with harlots and other things. I wonder sometime if he didn't have something in the back of the mind about rebelling a little bit of his self. But anyway, there's a lot of us, we're quick to judge, but we need to be careful. But the Father is the one that put it on. When this son came to himself in that far country, no man was given to it. He's feeding the hogs and he come to himself. That's a blessed day when you come to himself where that you are at. I don't care if you're saved by the grace of God. You wonder why that you don't have the joy that you once had. As Nehemiah 8:10 said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Didn't God's word say in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always? And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all man. The Lord is at hand. He's not a million miles away. I tell you, he's with us, he's in us, and we have Christ in us, a hope of glory. We can be spiritual paupers if we want to, but I believe the Father will bless us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I tell you, as Ephesians 1:3 says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and without bowing before him in love, predestinated us to the adoption of children to himself according to his good pleasure. Thank God, after you heard, if you read on down to Ephesians chapter 1, after you heard the gospel of your salvation, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and God said before the world, I chose that when you got in Christ as a new creature, you'd be holy and without blame before him in the love of the Lord. But the Father, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread and enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Listen, he came to himself. He repented. When you come to the place where you're at and realize that you are out there, have lost that first love, you don't have the zeal that you want, if you really know the Lord, you'll want to get it back. You'll want that overjoy that you ought to have in our heart. There's something about that. When this son, he started back, he said, I will arrive. After he repented, he said, I'll return. He didn't know what the reception he was going to have, but anyway, he knew it was better to father's house being a hired servant than it was out there the servant of sin. And listen, let me tell you something. He didn't ask for sonship right back. He said, just make me one of your hired servants. When we get to the place that we'd rather serve God out here and do what he will and what he'd have us to do, that we'd go. And this is a classic. You say it is. I want you to notice something about this. When the Father puts it on, when that son, he started back to the Father's house, he said, I'll arise and go to my Father. You say what he did, and he arose, and he said in verse 20, but yet when he was a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now you'd see the father's reception. He come home safe. He come home suffering. But thank God he come home and sad. But listen, he saw what he missed out on. He is out of the Father's house, but he is never out of the Father's heart. The Father was a looking for him. And I'm glad God wasn't surprised tonight. I saved by the grace of God. He come to seek and to save that which was lost. He knew where to get it. That son wasted everything, and he came to himself. And when the Father saw him coming a great way off, he ran and fell on his neck and kissed it. He is reconciled. You say, what did? Well, listen, he wasn't ran, fell on his neck before that son said anything. He knew what the son had already said in the far country. I will arise and go to my father and say, I've sinned against heaven. You say he did? Yes. And he said, I'll arise and go. And he can't, no, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. But when his father saw him a great way off, he had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed it. You say what? He gave him a welcome reception. That son hadn't said, I've sinned against heaven in your sight, and told the father. But the Father knows. And about that time, he said, the Father already knew it. Father, I've sinned against heaven. In your sight, I'm not worthy to be called your son. You know something? In the book of Deuteronomy, the Word of God tells us, chapter 21, verse 18 to 21, when there was a rebellious son, the father and mother could take him to the gate and said, our son's rebellious. He won't do the things we said. And he's out going rebelling against the father, against his mother, and not honor him like he should. You know what they'd do? They would fall right there. They'd stone him to death. You say, well, this is a rebellious son. You ever to come back, fed a stone to son, then I had to stone the father. Because he's the one that fell on his neck.
Yes.
You don't know why I'm happy. I'll tell you why my sins is gone.
Amen.
They're underneath the blood.
Amen.
Thank God the father saw me when I was a great way off.
And,
hallelujah.
Yes,
there was a reception. He didn't browbeat me and beat me down of everything I done. The Father didn't do that. He already knew that. You know that. He got a reception from the Father. He wasn't accepting. You say, why? Because, listen, they're supposed to fall down then. And the son submitted to the father, fall at his feet, and the father put his foot on his neck. And the Bible, and I'm inclined to believe that this prodigal fell at the father's feet. And instead of putting his foot on his neck, thank God he hugged his neck. That's what the Lord does for you.
Oh, thank God. Yes.
You ain't got a reception. That last verse of the love of God, I've read about that and where it come from there in that prison wall. And every time I think about it, I get overwhelmed that God commended his love towards you and I, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for, saw us out there in a far country. When we come to ourselves and started, he met us. The father's reception. And then there was the father's reconciliation. You say he had rebelled against his father. Notice verse 20 what it says. He arose, came to his father, yet a great way off. The father saw him, had compassion, ran on his neck, and kissed him, just like he had never been gone. You say, why did he kiss him? Why didn't he? He still had the stench of the hog pen upon him. He didn't have any shoes on his feet. He has tattered his clothes and tore, and the stench of a hog pen. You can't hardly get that off of you. I was a country boy. And you and I is in the filth of our sin, in the hog pen of sin. The very minute we come to the Lord with outstretched and embraced arms, he fell on our neck and kissed us like him. Oh, the reception he got from him. And then the reconciliation. You say, what'd he do? After he'd hugged him and kissed him, and after that son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven, your sight, not worth it to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. He didn't do that. You say, what'd he say? I like what he said. But the father said to his servants, more than one of them, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Now that's a change. Not any second hand that had turned in and he had bought at Goodwill, but one he had, the best one. Whether you and I realize it or not, God gave us his best. He brought the best robe and clothes upon him. We was kind of like Ezekiel chapter 16 that God spoke about. He passed by and he said, told them about their nativity, how that they were of Israel. He said, you was cast out in the field and you was born, your navel wasn't cut, none I pitied thee. You was cast out there in the field, which is the world. You was polluted in your own blood, and I passed by and I looked on you, and I looked on you and I loved you, thank God. And I said, live! God looked at you and I out there cast away from God, passed by and said, live! Then God said, I tell you, no, they hadn't washed you, they insulted I've got there together, hadn't cut your navel, you're still attached, but I severed it, I brought you, I swaddled you, I washed you, I went and clothed you, thank God, I cleansed you and I clothed you, and then I put a fur crown on your head and you become mine. Amen. The father said, bring the best robe and put on him. Not only that, and put a ring on his hand. Yeah. That's a sign, you know, a ring was used as a signet. There's a seal, and wax a lot of times others did, like that you got out here, at you get a notary public to do something, they got a seal and sign it. State of North Carolina here, Virginia. Then if a president, the governor signed the law, something else, they put the seal on it. Right. It becomes official. Yes. He said, he's still my son. Put the ring, shoes on him. You say, why was that? Well, best robe on him, he come from rags to riches. He come from the filthiness to the robe of righteousness. He put a ring on his hand that a seal of a sonship. And not only that, he put shoes on his feet that he was going to walk in the way of the Father from now on because he had learned his lesson the hard way. I don't know what any of you, that book that the fellows wrote, several of them, he wasn't originally from this country, but the last I knew, if he's still living, was in Colorado. He wrote A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. And I got it just out of a recommendation when I was up at Fincastle, Virginia, Scripture Truth Book Company. But anyway, I didn't read it for a long time. And then when I looked at that, a shepherd, that a sheep, told about where that they had to be and looked after them, where constant to watch care of it. And then he talked about the sheep, you know, one of them would want to go astray, a lamb or something, rebellious, get away from a flock, run away from its mother after it got up. And then when it did, afraid of wild animals, the dogs or something, and even sometimes it learned to watch the sheep dogs that they had and dart away. A lot of times we think God's not watching us, but the eyes of the Lord run to and fro on the earth. He knows where you're at. He knows what I'm thinking, what you're thinking. But he said anyway, he said when it did, that little lamb got on there running, playing frisky like you see him or a calf, let out the stall. That shepherd, when nothing else wouldn't do, get back continually, he knew how to take that rod and on one of its forelegs just hit it gently, enough to just a hairline fracture. So if a little bit of running around, it'd get sore and it's limping. And then the shepherd got it up and carried it in his bosom. He said by the time it healed, hearing the heartbeat of the shepherd, that one usually stayed close to the shepherd than any of the rest of them did. I got to thinking a little. In Isaiah 40:11, he'll carry the lambs in his bosom, gently lead those that are with young. And David said in Psalms 51, the bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. Got back in fellowship. And I've had both legs broke. I've had my Right arm broke. I don't remember then. I've had ribs broken. Last time in a wreck and collapsed my right lung. A fella hit me from behind, not sitting down there on Highway 220. Suppose thinking about doing a radio broadcast and preaching that night, going to Berlin the next time that Saturday evening, and I got hit and wound up in the hospital. But anyway, that first doctor, I broke my leg playing football. Didn't nobody touch me. I slipped, put my foot down. It cracked about 4 inches up. He come there and looked that old doctor up in Hillville, Virginia. After it got, he said, "Captain," he said, "you know, when that gets well, it's going to be stronger where the break is at in the other part of the bone." I said, "What?" He said, "That blood." Said, "You know, the life is the person is in the blood, and that's according to the Bible. The life of the flesh is in the blood." He said, "It goes there, and then the marrow of that bone, that blood goes and clots." And said, "It forms calcium. And then it's like an electric weld. Where that crack is at, where it's broken, it heals and it's stronger. So now you could break it again, but it won't break there in the same place." I thought about what David said in Psalm 51, "The bones of ours broken, we get out of fellowship with God. He has to use a rod on us sometime. And while we're limping, he'll care and restores." Hallelujah. That's what the Father was doing here. Bring it to him. The restoration, put shoes on his feet. He's a walking the Father. And then not only that, there was some rejoicing in the Father's fellowship. In verse 22 to 24, "And the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and alive again, lost and is found, and they began to be merry." Now, I grew up on the farm. I took agriculture in high school. And I still farm a little bit. I put out a garden every year. Tommy knows that. That's my hobby. I got a back. It's fused together from an inherited disease. Every joint in my back. The last x-ray, where the vertebrae is at. Of course, they said, "Call rock, you got to have a strong back and a weak mind." So I guess I've got both. But anyway, I do that and farm. And when you look at that, my dad, he'd buy calves, folks that had grade A dairy. And we'd get them and put them on a cow that had a calf, have to put kickers on it. Sometimes she wouldn't accept it. And sometimes if we had a cow that didn't give enough for two calves to fatten them up for veal. And you say, what'd they do? We had a bucket, we got that mixture, the nipple on it, and that was my job twice a day. That fatted calf. Yeah. Now I got sense enough to know that fatted calf didn't get fat that day.
That's right, Doc.
You say what? The Father knows it all.
Yes, sir, Doc. Yes, sir.
And he has it all.
Right.
And he had that calf fatted up because he knew that son is going to come back. He said, "Kill it, it's ready." He already had it. Whether you realize it or not, everything, all things are now ready anyway. We just need to come and dine.
All right, Doc. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, the elder son is in the field, and they came, drew nigh to the house and heard music and dancing. Well, you say what he did. He wouldn't even come to see for himself. Boy, he is superstitious, wasn't he? And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. What he asked, he said, "What's going on around here?"
Yeah.
Well, he could have went without asking a servant. And not only that, that shows he had not only a superstitious spirit, but he had a sullen spirit. And I've met a few Baptists had that.
Yeah,
they sulk up. You ever seen them? They ought to get out of it. But anyway, he said unto him, "Thy brother's come, and thy father's killed the fatted calf, because he's received him safe and sound." And he was angry, would not go in. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. And he answered, said to his father, Lo, these many years I served thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Like I said, I got a question mark about that. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Soon as this thy son was come and devoured thy living with harlots, and has killed for him the fatted calf, he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother. Now he didn't acknowledge him as a brother. He told the father, Your son. Your son. He is still his brother no matter what. He said, Make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and alive again, lost and found. And that's always bothered me. I wondered what happened to the older son. I kept praying over that, looking. And sometimes the Lord says, if you'll backtrack, go back to the first mention in Scripture I was taught, you might find the answer and run it. But I looked up here. His elder son is in the field, called the servants, and he said he's safe and sound, angry, and wouldn't go in. And all of a sudden, in verse 28, came the father out and entreated him. Now that word entreat means to call near, to invite, to exhort, and to be of good comfort and to pray. I want to ask you something. It don't say it leaves us hanging. But do you think after the father entreated that son, and after this oldest son said what he did, that all of a sudden maybe his conscience didn't smite him a little bit? He said, It's your brother. It's my son. You might have stayed here all these years, but he's alive. He's back. He's safe. He's sound. And I kind of used my imagination to look it up, that word entreat, when I did. Not only in the Greek of it, but also in Webster's 1828 dictionary. I kindly believe that this one that never done anything wrong, he said. Well, that's what he said. I never did disobey you. Of course, if any of you did that, you come up here and tell me after service how you did it, because I want to know. But anyway, I kind of believe, Brother Tommy, that when the father, after he entreated him and had his say, I kind of believe his conscience smote him. He said, Well, I think I will go back and say, I'm glad he's home. And that brother knew he couldn't get none of his inheritance, because the father said, All I have is thine. Because I've already given him his part. He might have wasted it. You've still got yours, but are you going to act like that of somebody that's wasted life or something? You going to put them down? You going to say that they're not worth salvaging? Are you going to be with that kind of attitude? I think a father and that son went in. I believe he went up to brother.
Amen, Doc.
He said, You know, you look about as good as you did when you left. Now, he hadn't when he first come back, but the father put a robe on him.
The father put shoes on his feet.
The father put a ring on his finger for sonship. He said, Well, brother, glad to have. Have you got some of that special? He said, We saved just one part over here, a filet mignon of this fatted calf for you.
That's all right.
You say, Preacher, your imagination runs wild. Well, I tell you, knowing God and knowing how God can work on you and I in our rebellious, stubborn will and stiff-necked ways, He's able to get us back, and He can bring a violent sinner back to Him.
Oh, yes. Amen, Preacher. Amen.
And it said they began to be merry.
Right. We'll see.
Didn't say nothing about it ending. Didn't say a thing about it ending. Salvation is just the start. Glory to God. Glorification is the finished work of it. And in between, there's some feast is for us in spite of our failures.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been criticized and said, well, all right, so-and-so, you know, I've been me, I wouldn't have done that. Well, Galatians 6 tells me, you know, to consider yourself a brother or sister be overtaken in fault. Lest you also think we might have done a little worse in that circumstance. We ought to thank God we didn't. He kept us from it.
Sure.
I wonder as the days went by, that son was out there like a hired servant. Father, what you want me to do? Just like one of your side servants. Now, a hired servant did what he said, or he got in trouble.
Right.
I can just see this son. Every time he said, well, they're making me, my father might have put a little hardship on him. I'm imagining, just to see how he'd react. And about the time, you know, he's probably getting a little angry again, he'd remember where he's at in the far country.
Oh, yes, Don. Right. Yes, Don.
He'd say, huh? I'm having it a whole lot better than I did back there.
That's right. Yes, oh, Lord. Tell it, preacher. Yes. Yes.
A whole lot better than I did back there.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And he'd just go about and say, Father, I finished that task. What else you want me to do? He said, son, you've been so good about that. Just take a break.
Oh, it's all right, Doc. Yes, yes, yes.
When the Father puts it on, it's put on right.
Yes, Doc.
When the Father supplies it, everything's supplied right. When the Father does it, it's done the right way.
Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes.
And we as servants of Christ ought to want to do the will of God from the heart as Christians. But if you're here lost tonight and you know where you're at, you're a long ways away from God. I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. I never hear softly and tenderly invitation, but what it don't touch my heart. The night I was saved, they're singing that. Aunt Mamie Collier, everybody's aunt. White-haired lady had an alto that led the choir. They couldn't come down. It's packed out full. And they were singing, come home, come home.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was in that far country.
Yeah,
I said, Lord, I'm going up there. If you won't save me, just send me on to hell. I can't stand this any longer. A few years won't make any difference if I got to go to hell anyway. But he didn't come to destroy my life, but to save it.
Oh, yeah.
I might have went away, but like that son. But when he saw me coming a far way off, he embraced me. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for loving us. Lord, all we like sheep and went astray. There may be somebody here lost tonight away out there in a far country. Lord, they're miserable. I know they are. There might be pleasure and sin for a season, and no doubt till the money run out this young man. He enjoyed the pleasures of it, but then he wound up in a hog pen. Then he wound up with hogs. Then he wound up barefooted, clothes tattered, stinking, dirty. And he came to himself. And I pray if there's a sinner here tonight, God, they'll come to themselves. Realize where they are, the only dangerous ground is but a step between them and death. The wicked will be turned into hell and all the nation forget God. But may they resolve like this son did, I'll arise and go to my Father. Say what he said, Lord, I've sinned. I'm not worthy to be saved, but Lord, make me. Just let me serve you. If you'll just save me, I'll serve you. And Lord, I'm glad that you always welcome with outstretched arms. Like a father fell on his neck. And I pray as we get a number right now, some of us need to get on the altar and thank God for bringing us back from a far country. Some of us need out here to get that sullen, rebellious, superstitious spirit about things out and just yield completely to the Father like the older son did. Now, Father, I pray you'd entreat any that's that way, critical of someone right now, somebody else, and say, well, I didn't do that. Lord, I know, but you said to examine yourselves, prove yourself. Know you're not your own self. We'd take a close examination once in a while of ourselves. We wouldn't have too high opinion of ourselves. Only opinion we could have of ourselves that the Lord has been gracious and showed grace to us. And I plead right now, Lord, whoever it is that may need Jesus, that they'll come, they'll arise, that child of God, Won't stand outside and criticize, but say, I want to get in the feast and in the merriment of God. In Jesus' name.